Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Evening, folks.
And Phaedra Eckris.
Hello, everyone.
So on tonight's show, basically what we're going to do, there was a lot of news that dropped, and we're going to be covering that. But I did want to give you guys a reminder that's listening. Next Sunday, November 28th, Nerd Alert will be participating at the annual WDWNT Toys for Tots Marathon. Our segment will take place between starting at 3 and ending at 5 on that Sunday. And
live.
Phaedra and I, and it will be live and very live for Phaedra and I, since we will be at the studio. And this will be our first trip at the studio, and it should
be fun.
Jack will basically be via, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, satellite.
Remote correspondent.
Yes, he's our official remote correspondent from, where are you from in New Jersey?
Hillsboro, New Jersey.
Hillsboro, I should remember that. That's Tampa, too. There's a Hillsboro.
We're on Money Magazine's top 50 towns to live in the good old USA.
Well, that's nice for you.
It is. I like my little town.
So yeah, it should be fun. We're gonna play some games. We'll do a year in review. We'll have some listeners on the show, some friends on the show. So we're all looking forward to that, and hope you can join us during that time. So remember, again, Sunday the 28th between 3 and 5 on WDWNT. And I guess that you can watch us on Entunes on there. That's probably where we'll be. So, you guys. So, what have you guys been up to? Anything interesting? Phaedra, have you watched any movies? Have you?
I have.
You have anything good?
Yeah, I watched Ant-Man.
You watched Ant-Man?
I did. I watched it over the weekend. And
did you watch both of them or just one?
Just the one. Okay. Just wanting to, you know, stretch it out for some time, you know, after Thanksgiving. You know, I agree with a friend of mine who said this on Facebook, and they said that this was the most uniquely, like, creatively written Marvel movie. And I actually really agree, because I thought I was going in there with this expectation that it was going to be terrible, because that's all I heard from everybody else. They're like, nah.
Not me. Nah. I liked it.
Not Jack. That's true. And I will say that I'm still going to rate it at a 5 to a 4, of course, because there was just a lot of typical scenes, a lot of just cheesy moments that I was like, okay, how many more times does this have to be replayed? Writing was, you know, still kind of weak in my opinion. However, I think that it was at least the scenes of the connection with the ants, I thought was really well done. I loved that. Whoever was on that crew, kudos to them. I mean, they made it so interesting with the different types of ants and how they communicate with Ant-Man. I really loved that. You know, again, it's just that whole scenario of the character, you know, needing a family and how he's like, you know, redeeming himself for his daughter. You know, it really reminded me of like Sandman in Spider-Man. And I was almost at the point of like, is this useful? Is this necessary type of thing? And I know, yes, to develop the character it is, but I'm just giving you, you know, my honest thoughts while watching the film. As far as Michael Douglas. I gotta say, man, I've been loving that dude for a long time. And it was really nice to see him kind of youthful with the fancy, you know, technology that they have.
We were all blown away when that was done, because that was one of the first ones where they de-aged a character, mm-hmm, and right. that it looked really good. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just incredible. That was the talk of the movie for most people after that movie.
I mean, the guy he's just like fine wine, you know, he just ages as well. He looks handsome even now in his, you know, older years. So, but I mean, great actor. I love the chemistry that I can't remember the other actor's name, but Ant-Man and, you know, Michael Douglas were great. I love
Paul Rudd.
Yes, Paul Rudd. I love how they're back and forth. I think it was great.
He's the sexiest man alive this year.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, but I like the humor that they had with like the crew of Ant-Man, like helping. I thought that was great. One thing I thought was still just kind of superficial was the relationship with Hope. It really didn't kind of develop or was seen. And I don't know how she looks in part two, but I remember seeing on Instagram when they were promoting the second film coming out that her look was going to change a little bit. And I'm kind of glad, because for some reason in the first film, when she had that black kind of like Bob look, I don't know why, it just didn't connect into the character for me.
Like Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction.
It felt very much like a guise. It was like the actress with the character and that look did not come together. So I'm glad that in the second film, they decided to change the look. I'm really interested to see maybe this look is what really connects the character of Hope in it. But I mean, the actress was phenomenal. I really, really dig her too and her movements. I mean, when she punched him in the face, that was awesome.
Well, we mostly
just being
know,
honest, it was like, that's what a punch is. I was like, what? I was like, all right, sister. All right, go.
Like, we're more familiar with Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne in the comics as Ant-Man and the Wasp. And her look, I would say for a big chunk of it, she kind of had like that pixie type of haircut. So I think it was an homage to that hairdo. But I agree. I like her with the longer hair. You see it in, is it Endgame? I guess we see more of her.
Yeah, in Endgame, she has the long hair still.
Yeah, she takes off her helmet, you know, to pose with the super chick cheerleaders at that point. And she does. I think she's a good actress, and I think she's very easy on the eyes. So yeah, I think she did a good job.
So I look forward to the second one. We'll see what I think. I actually would definitely see it again, even though for the lower rating, just because it was that unique. It was entertaining enough that I really would like to go back and just rewatch the whole concept of the ants. I thought that was cool. And the whole changing of the size and how he was training for that. I mean, really, I actually thought that was more unique than a lot of the other MCU films. I felt was more just the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, this one was more of a comedy. There was definitely a lot of comedy throughout this one. And like Jack had said last week, that Michael Pena is really good. Was he Lewis or that the character?
Was it Lewis or Louis?
He was part of the crew.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like how he described things, and you hear his narration and, you know, his voice coming out of the characters.
I wanted to remind part of the crew, that guy from he's the actor who also played in Suicide Squad. So that was cool to see him again. He was playing the Russian hacker in the crew.
Michael Pena? Am I getting this wrong?
Michael Pena is the actor. Yes.
No. But he wasn't in Suicide Squad. It was, oh, you're talking about the Russian guy. Because there were three guys, right?
The Russian guy was in the second Suicide Squad. He was the polka dot guy that you like. The polka dot.
Oh, I like. No.
Yeah.
Polka dot man.
Polka dot man, yeah.
I didn't like him.
Yeah, I thought. Oh, no. Jack did. Sorry. Yes, I remember you only liked the rat girl.
I only like the rat girl. I only have love for the rat girl. No, Michael Pena, he was, I don't know, is he Mexican or?
You're making me want to look it up, so I might.
You had to. He was the funniest part of that movie, you know, because like he would do his narration, you know, he would kind of explain what would happen. And the guys, and then I was talking to, you know, to Scott, and Scott said, well, let's do this. You know, don't you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. I didn't know that he's from Chicago. He's a Chicagoan.
Oh, he's Michael from Chicago.
Anthony Pena. Yeah.
I knew he was in Chips, but I never, you know, the rebooted Chips, but I never watched that, the movie. But he's funny, and he's in the second one. He's pretty funny. But yeah, no, I'll say, I mean, I like the movie, but I just don't like the character of Ant-Man. I just always felt there never should be an Ant-Man movie. Because again, it's like what they're doing with Phase 4. Don't waste your time on characters like Ant-Man and Shang-Chi and the Eternals. Give us the stuff that we want to see. You know, give us more Avengers. Give us, you know, seed them in there a little bit, but we don't have to see it. Ant-Man doesn't deserve three sequels. I'm sorry, or two sequels.
Yeah, but I think the Ant-Man movie was more enjoyable than what we'd seen from Shang-Chi, which I rewatched because it was on Disney Plus again. I'd rather watch either of the Ant-Man movies again than Shang-Chi.
Yeah, I agree, actually.
I would actually agree with that.
I think Shang-Chi just kind of fit the Marvel formula a little better than the other ones. I'll have to say, I did like Shang-Chi better the second time because it had the fast forward option. So you know who I was fast forwarding over.
Yeah,
but still, Ant-Man I think is just. Both of them are very enjoyable movies. And I think you're wrong, Joe. I think Ant-Man deserves a treatment like that. I would rather all of the new movies get the Ant-Man treatment because there's just been kind of something missing since Endgame. Now, I don't know what it is, but there's just something missing. Black Widow was good, but it wasn't great, like a Marvel movie. Shang-Chi, very mixed reaction. Eternals didn't feel like a Marvel movie at all. It felt like almost a science fiction to me more than a Marvel movie.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah,
definitely.
I don't know. Give me more Ant-Man. Bring on the Quantumania.
No, like I've always said, Fedra, I just don't like the character of Ant-Man. I think he's a stupid character. A superhero that shrinks down to the size of ants and communicates with ants and every now and then will become a giant. I just think that those are stupid powers. I don't like his costume and I never picked them up. It's like, you know, when I was given a quarter and I had to go to the comic book shop and pick something up or the drugstore and pick something up. I'm not going to pick up Ant-Man. I'm going to either pick up Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, the Hulk. Sometimes, rarely Superman, because Superman sucked back then, and Batman or something like that, but never Ant-Man, never Shang-Chi. I picked up some Iron Fist, but yeah, I don't know. That's my point. I just feel like my days on this planet are limited. Give me the good stuff. Make the crap after I leave this wholesome planet of ours.
When Joe Hogarty was 7 years old, each day he'd say, I'm one step closer to death.
We all are. Every day we are. Not to be a downer, but it's the truth. Sorry, folks. All right. What about you, Jack? You been up to anything? Seen anything?
Let's see. Geez. I had, well, as I mentioned, I finished the U-Wing. And then I've been working on the write-up for the build. You had seen all the pictures in it, but I had wrote in all the text on what I had done. And I'm at 121 reactions so far on Facebook.
Really?
Which is pretty good.
That is really good.
So a lot of people like it. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's
yeah, that's great.
Very positive.
Yeah. So, I mean, 121 isn't a lot, but when you're on model websites, that's not too shabby.
I would say that's a lot. That's pretty impressive.
So, that's coming along, and I'm debating on my next subject. So,
yeah, no, you do good work. I got to admit, I rag on you a lot, but I can never do what you do. And yeah, the patience of a saint. I know. Well, I would know. Just.
I do. I really do.
I know, like when my parents used to get me models, I would just pour glue all over them, put them together, and that's it. I wanted to be done as quick as possible, never paint them. I remember I had the Hulk, and that thing went together so quickly. I was covered with glue all over my hands. The model had glue outside of it. Thank God it was green. So I really didn't have to paint anything. I could have painted his pants purple, but I was like, that looks good enough. It's the Hulk. You know?
Well, I have to say, doing the fine detailing work, I do have a tendency to get my fingers glued to the pieces and sometimes together. So it does get easier.
I was a smart idiot. Like what I used to do, I would get my fingers stuck with glue, and then I would go outside and wipe it on the grass. And guess what would happen?
Well, that's one way to get a green thumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't too bright.
And then you come in, look, Mom, poor Mrs. Hogarty. Joseph, what did you do now?
Oh, shut up. You're always defending her.
Somebody's got to defend your mom.
Whatever. All right. So I told you last week I was excited about Rocky IV, Rocky versus Drago, the director's cut of Rocky IV. And I picked it up and I actually started watching, which is sad. I watched it at 2 a.m. in the morning and I could have watched it at 12 because it actually came out at 12. But I thought that normally movies on Vudu come out at 2, but it actually came out at 12. So I was looking at the clock. It's like, is it 2? Is it 2? And it was out already. But I watched it and I got to say, I loved it. I thought it was great. I did a podcast with Charlie Hunter, Rusted Junk, where it was Charlie, his lovely partner, Amanda, and me. And we dissected the movie. Charlie hated it. I loved it. I really did, because they got rid of all the goofy stuff. It's no more robot. The kid is basically gone. Like, Paulie's birthday is completely gone. Like when he brings Adrian the cake in bed, where it's the bride and the groom with the boxing gloves, and then he gives her that that watch that wraps around a hand, and he goes, "The guy that sold me this said, it. Don't be worried. It might look like a snake, but it won't bite you." That stuff's all gone. All the goofy stuff is gone, and it just is so much better. I really enjoyed it. It feels more like a drama this time around.
Well, did they add more in since they took that stuff out?
Yeah, no, he had alternative takes, you know, different cameras that were used that was capturing the action scenes that different scenes, like the funeral is completely different. And it's really cool. Like Duke speaks this time and he says a lot of good stuff. Rocky is more emotional at the funeral. It's just so damn good. I really, really like it. I've watched it 3 times. And then I watched the theatrical one. Well, it's only 90 minutes. It's not that long. But I will say this.
It was that short?
Yeah, it was short. And wow, so
I don't remember it being that short. I think it was, okay.
It was 92 minutes. It was the shortest Rocky movie. And this one is 94 minutes. So he took out a lot of stuff, but he replaced it with, you know, alternate takes. If you love Rocky IV, you'll probably hate this movie. But for me, I always felt like Rocky IV was the second worst Rocky. Rocky V is the worst one. But I just felt I was embarrassed. Every time I would watch that movie, I was embarrassed when the robot would show up and whenever Rocky would speak, because he just sounded like an idiot. The script was horrible. But the training montages and the fights and Apollo, all that stuff was great. And they have that in there, but it's different. Apollo fights more in his fight. Rocky fights more in his fight against Drago. It's really, really good. If you're a Rocky fan, I would definitely pick it up or check it out. You can rent it too if you want, but this is my go-to Rocky IV movie from now on. It's it's really, really good. I'll watch it again. I'll probably watch it two more times or three more times before the year is out. Because again, it's 90 minutes and it's just like it picks you up. One thing I will say about those Rocky movies is they always encourage me to work out. I started running after the first Rocky. I started eating raw eggs. started talking like him. I was wearing like his Italian wife beater undershirts. Yo, ma, we have a meatball tonight.
Nice.
And then, you know, like each one, you have a different training montage. I started lifting weights. It definitely encouraged me throughout my life to get in shape. So I owe him a lot. And then he's Rambo. Good Lord, that guy, man. God bless Sylvester Stallone.
Amen.
So, yeah, pick that up. Oh, so I was going to mention, too, I don't know if you guys had heard this, that they're doing a 20th anniversary for Harry Potter. I guess like the first movie had come out 20 years ago. It's called Return to Hogwarts. I think it's playing on New Year's Day on HBO Max.
Really?
Yes. They're having Chris Columbus is going to be on there and the main cast, the three regulars and some of the other cast. So they might make a big announcement. People are thinking that they might do another movie. There was a play called A Cursed Child that was done about an adult Harry and Hermione and Ron and their children. So who knows? We might see that, or it might be nothing. But it's just so funny because I tell you, I go on these forums because I love to hear what people have to say. And there's a lot of people that hate J.K. Rowling over the stuff that she said about transgenders and all that. And they just want her gone. And they want the whole Harry Potter franchise gone forever. She can't get out of this. Like, she can't say that she's sorry or that ask for her, for forgiveness. They just want her gone. I mean, some don't like her and they're like, yeah, okay, maybe. But some just are like, no, I can't watch Harry Potter anymore. It's over. She's ruined everything for me with her comments. And I'll be honest.
Destroyed their childhood.
I just don't get it because it's like I enjoyed the movies. I enjoyed the books. They are fun. But I think everybody has the right to their opinion. You might, just because you don't agree with them doesn't mean they should be canceled. And I mean, I believe that everyone should have the right to live the way they want to live. And that includes the transgender community. But again, you can't force people to think a certain way. And if they do have a difference of opinion, don't call for their cancellation or call for people to hate them or wish them death. Talk to them. Try to communicate with them. And
whoa, get out the R2-D2.
I didn't curse.
I thought you did.
No, I said talk to them. What did you? No, don't even say it because I don't want to use the R2-D2. I said communicate with them.
Oh, I thought you dropped the F-bomb.
No, I didn't. That's my point. It's just that I think that people should talk before they jump to the, you know, banishing them to bogeyland, as much as the cancel culture loves to do. Any thoughts on that, people? Or is it just me?
It's just you. It's always you.
No, I mean, you can definitely rile me up about that, but I think you said it very well. And, you know, it's, of course, you know, supporting every community, but also supporting every voice. You know, you can't say on one hand that everyone has the right to speak their truth and then say, yeah, but these people need to be quiet and never be able to say anything ever again. Like, it's a double standard. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, and you know, and you have to preach love, not hate. Mm-hmm. And just try to convince, because I don't think it really helps when you try to force people to think a certain way. And, you know, you gotta have to do it gently and as a friend and as a kind conversation, instead of saying you're wrong, I hope you die. And
I mean, because I've noticed that at least with celebrities, we've been kind of, in my own terms, programmed to like idolize people, when we should remind ourselves that these are everyday folks like you and I that have certain values and beliefs, and chances are you may not agree with them.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And that's okay to not agree with them, just as they don't have to agree with everything that you do in your life and what you believe in and how everything should go.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of celebrities that I disagree with, especially political wise. But I still go see their movies and I still watch their movies over and over again.
And you don't think that they're a horrible person and that should be just removed off of existence.
I wish they wouldn't take sides and they just did their job and act. Like, again, my favorite, Keanu Reeves. You never hear a boo from him. You have no idea what he's thinking political wise or social justice wise or anything. He's just there to act and he wants to make people happy. And I wish more actors were like that, but nope.
I agree too.
Anywho, let's get into the news. So the big news, of course, this week was the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer had dropped this week. And we got a lot of stuff in that trailer. So we'll start with Jackie Boy. What'd you think? Did you watch the trailer, Jack, by the way?
Yeah, I watched the trailer.
I know you
did. I watched it several times because there's a lot packed into that trailer. There really is. And I can't wait because it looks crazy off the wall and a lot of things. Like, for example, there's little touches in there. Like, did you notice when they showed Jamie Foxx? They had the electricity going around him, but like it was going around his head like the classic Electro mask from the
comic. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there's little things like that in there that's just right. There's a scene where the lizard is jumping up again. He's still the same type of lizard. They didn't update him or really change him too much.
No.
We saw the Green Goblin. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like did a whole heck of a lot to that costume. It still looks very 1990s Power Ranger-y. But there's a lot of stuff packed into that trailer. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am. That trailer has got me psyched up. There's a lot of it didn't give everything away.
It gave enough away.
Well, I mean, it gave you an idea of what happens. Doctor Strange is casting a spell. It goes wrong. All this stuff starts dropping in from the multiverse. I mean, but it looks good. I'm looking forward to it.
What about you, Fedra?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it as well. I just felt like there was too much in the trailer. There was a lot going on and a lot of coverage. And it was just like, to me, it was just like seeing, you know, all the villains against Spider-Man. It was just like too much to me. It was just like, I wish that they could have maybe tailored that back just a little bit so that when we get into the movie, we can be more surprised. Whereas this time it was like, they kind of show all their cards in that way. And that's kind of what I think shouldn't be done. I feel like there should be some held back. But overall, I mean, cuts were really like a lot of cuts in there. And I just, you know, I fell very much in love with Doctor Strange on his own film. So I would love to just see more of him personally and in other, you know, multiverse and other kind of MCU films. So I'm excited to see what is with this spell and what is he going to have to do and what is Spider-Man going to have to face. You know, that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. And of course, all the action.
Well, if we saw the teaser, I guess it was a teaser one that they showed before. Was that the first one or was that the first trailer? I forget. I think it was a teaser.
Yeah, there was.
It shows Peter. He basically, everybody knows he's Spider-Man. He's miserable about it. And he goes to Doctor Strange and asks him for help. And Wong basically tells him, don't do it, Doctor Strange. He does it anyway. This is all in the trailer and in the teasers. I think they are giving away too much because I know the whole story. I would say 90% of it. And they gave away way too much. Because what happens is Peter, while Doctor Strange is trying to do the spell, Peter keeps saying, it's like, oh, but I want, MJ to still remember me, you know, and Ned. And by doing that, that's what causes a rip in the multiverse and has all these villains come in. So again, I'm not spoiling anything because those were in the trailers that we had seen. And then we learn in this new trailer that Doc Ock, I guess, tells Peter that because of him, they all die. And so when they go back to their own universe, they're all going to die. The Spider-Man in their universe ends up killing them.
Did the Lister die, though?
No, I don't think so. That's what I was going to say.
I thought they reverted him back.
Yeah, I don't think the Lizard died. Sandman didn't die.
Electro didn't die. He short-circuited him out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm not sure. Does Electro die? Or did they put him... I forget how... Fedra would know. You saw it recently. Did he die? Do you remember?
I'm trying to think.
I would assume that he's probably, you know, whatever they did, them, like Jack said, they might have short-circuited him out.
Because wasn't that the whole point of Gwen being in like the control panel? Like they flipped the charges and it knocked them out, and that's when the Green Goblin nerd showed up.
Yeah, Beavis. whatever. Let's assume he's alive. But my point is they end up telling him that all of them die. So he feels guilty. He steals that little device from Doctor Strange and he's going to let them all escape. That's basically the whole movie, other than the fact that there might be two Spider-Men, you know, Toby and Andrew might be returning too. I would say there's a very good chance of that happening, but we had discussion, Jack, Fedra and Eric and I had a discussion, and Eric had mentioned that he would be okay if Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire didn't show up. And I agree. I think that this would be a good movie just with Tom Holland's Spider-Man trying to defeat all these villains. I think that would kind of show him that is a very special Spider-Man and that he is a superhero, that he can handle all these by himself. Because that's usually what the Spider-Man in the comics does. He's got to go out after six of them. He normally doesn't ask for help. He basically takes them down himself. I think they gave away way too much in this trailer. Sony loves to do that. But I'm glad we didn't see the other two Spider-Men. I think it would be nice to see them on this, on the big screen as our first view of them. And I give Sony and Marvel credit for not including them. Who knows? They still might not be in it. They might be pulling a fast one on us and they're not in it at all, but I'm pretty sure they're in it. They're just,
I checked, and in the scene, Jack's right. Gwen flips the switch, but it transmutes him because he gets kind of sucked into the power grid and turns everything back on. Because remember, he turned everything back off.
You are fast.
Yeah, I want to find it. Yep.
Damn, good for you. You don't have to wait for next week if Fedra's here. But I am looking forward to it. I think it's a good trailer. My only complaints is Zendaya. I just don't like her. I don't like her in anything. I don't like that they keep pushing her on us. I can't stand her character, Michelle. If she was just Michelle, but now they're trying to make her into MJ and Peter Parker's girlfriend. In the first one, she was funny because she was kind of like this goth chick, and she was very tomboyish, and she just had this negative outlook, very pessimistic outlook on life. And then in the second one, she still had that, but then she became love interest, and I just don't like her. And then I thought she was very rude to Doctor Strange, asking him to say please. He's trying to save their lives. And could you imagine that if Tom Holland had delivered that line, or if Ned had delivered that line, everybody would hate them. So I'm going to come out and say, I hate Zendaya for saying that. You know, it's not the actress, it's just how it was written and for the character. I just don't like her. I'm sorry. Maybe she's good in other things, but she was okay in Dune because she didn't do much.
Well, she does a lot more now that he's met her in person versus a dream. So she'll have a lot meatier a role in Dune Part 2. But I remember my wife saying she was very good in The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, I still need to watch that.
I haven't watched it yet because that's not my sort of thing. No, but
you're not your cup of tea.
It's not my cup of tea. So, but my wife said she was very good in that.
No, I'll check it out.
But I think it's also like where you put the actress or actor. And from what I know of her, she was really in a lot of Disney throughout her life. So that makes her more of an entertainer. And from what I heard, even in Disney, they didn't actually put her where she truly shines. Apparently, she's a great dancer. So it's also that, like, why don't they utilize the actor or actress for their skill and put them where they can, you know, really shine? I mean, for me, I don't have that kind of beef of the relationship. I do agree with you that I do liked her attitude in the first one. So I hope that can come out a little bit more. My thing is about Spider-Man himself. Like, I hope that at least in this film, he's going to start to mature a little more, because I agree with you, Joe. There's only a certain amount of Spider-Man films that I want to see the youth, and I want to see how does the boy become the man in Spider-Man. And is making more mature, decisions, is handling even more, harder predicaments, not just saving MJ or saving Aunt May or going through Uncle Ben's death yet again. Like, I'd like to see more of that, because I do like the lighter side. I do like seeing his youth. I do like having that comedy and that playfulness. But I hope that at least at this point, when he's tackling like what, 6 or 7 or I don't know how many villains in this film, like, is he going to now kind of mature into that college level,
Yeah. And that has been my problem with the Spider-Man, is he relies too much on other people in the MCU. Like the first one, it was Iron Man. The second one, I guess it was Happy and Nick Fury. And and Mysterio. And then in this one, it's Doctor Strange, and he's got to be his own self. And he also messes up all the time. He never learns from his mistakes. In the first one, he messed up. Tony Stark took away his costume. In the second one, he gave his glasses to Mysterio. That was disastrous. In this one, he's the reason why the spell gets all messy and everyone comes into the MCU, all the villains. And then he's the one that lets them out, you know, by stealing Doctor Strange's thing. Again, I'm not giving away anything from it because that's what Doctor Strange is doing in the trailer. It's like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
And he says, I'm sorry, I have to do this. It's like, why would they show that in the trailer? It's just, it's crazy. I just don't like how they're treating the character Spider-Man. Again, he's a good Peter Parker. He's a very good young Peter Parker.
Yeah.
I buy his relationship mostly with him and Ned, I think, are great in the series. And he's a good Spider-Man when he's in Queens and trying to save people. That costume is great. A little too tech heavy, but he takes his mask off way too much. And he's just never learned from his mistakes. He has to grow up sometimes because I'm assuming, let's for the sake of argument, say he's about 17 now. But he's, like his Uncle Bennett said, with great power comes great responsibility. He's got a lot of responsibility and he can't fool around and just goof around and cause all these problems for the city of New York and also the people of the MCU. So hopefully they'll fix that. I also didn't like that line from Doctor Strange when he said Scooby-Doo. You
know? Yeah, that didn't feel like it was him.
No. Why would they even show that? It's so cringy.
He's not the real Doctor Strange. He's a multiverse Doctor Strange. Bum, bum, bum.
That's another thing, too. Ever since we've seen these trailers, would Doctor Strange so easily say, sure, I'll help you. I'll risk opening up the multiverse. That's not Doctor Strange, you know?
Yeah. He's a little more strict, you would think.
Yeah, he would never have done that. He'd basically probably try to talk Peter and saying, you just need to accept it. Plain and simple. These things happen. We saw J.K. Simmons in this a little bit. He was on the street. Let me see here. I agree with Jack. I think Jamie Foxx looks a little better. I wasn't crazy about the blue Electro, but I think we're seeing more green and yellow from this Electro. Green Goblin looks like crap.
Yeah, Jack, when you said the 90s.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I was on mute. I was cracking up.
I don't know why they just don't update that costume. Like, you know, even if they change the color to give it the green and purple, or, you know, he has that and he's wearing something over it. You know,
kudos to William Dafoe for even still putting it on. You know, I could totally see him looking like, I don't want to put this on.
Well, I have a feeling he doesn't put it on. It's probably a stunt double or something. He's too old, you know, to be on that glider.
I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed they didn't give the Green Goblin an MCU update.
Yeah, I mean, they gave Electro one. They could have gave the Green Goblin one. We'll find out. I'm sure this idiot director is like, oh, I love the Green Goblin. And I just couldn't wait to recreate him. I think he has more realistic eyes instead of the yellow ones, but he still looks like crap. Could have given him like a coat or something. Just his mask. Ugh. Anyway, I'm ragging on it, but I love it. Oh, one thing I wanted to say that annoyed me was, and I had read this for a while because I love spoilers, is the Statue of Liberty with Captain America's shield. That would never happen. That would never, ever happen. There would be such an outcry in the world to, I guess they're replacing her, what is it, that the book that she's carrying with the shield? No. You didn't like that at all. I think that's dumb. But it's the best trailer that I've seen for the MCU so far this year. I'll leave it at that. All right, so the producers from the Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, came out and said we will never see T'Challa in the MCU ever again. They're not recasting him. They're just going to respect Chadwick Boseman's portrayal, and they will not replace him. So what are your thoughts on that, Fedra? Do you think that's a good idea? Or?
No, I think that's not a good idea. But why does it end with just one specific actor that portrayed the Black Panther? We should keep going with it and tell the story. They're not doing that with any other character that I could think of. I mean, granted, you know, Christopher Reeves, in my opinion, is still Superman, but they had other actors pursue him. So why not do that for Black Panther? I have a big problem with that. That doesn't send out a good message.
I agree. How about you, Jack?
I am along the line with what Fedra was saying. I mean, heck, I was all for recasting Princess Leia. You know, not to take anything away from Carrie Fisher, but if they felt the character still had a strong enough story to tell, they should have told it and put somebody else in there. The whole thing is, it's not, when these things happen, it's not like they fired the actor or the actress and stuck somebody else in. No, that actor passed, but that doesn't mean the character has to pass with them. And T'Challa is such an important character in the comics. Just saying, oh, well, that story is done, he's over with, because the actor passed, which, like I said, is a tragedy that caught, I guess, the world by surprise. Because he kept everything so private, which is amazing in this day and age. He was able to keep that private. But I don't think that should be the end of the character. Maybe that actor's portrayal, but it shouldn't be the end of the character. And I think if they, in doing that, they're doing the MCU in general a disservice, because he's too important a character. And especially the way they built up that character in the MCU. You know, so I don't know. I don't think that's the right idea, but what can I say? That's all I feel. I think that the character still has a lot more life left in him than the actor's portrayal.
No, you guys both said it brilliantly. I don't have too much to say other than I wish they would recast him. There are a lot of good Black actors out there, especially, I'm going to butcher his name, the guy who's playing Blade, Mishali Ali. He was in the Green Book. He's such a good actor. He would be a great Black Panther. I'd be so on board with him. I would say, we'll pay you for Blade, but we want you to do Black Panther instead. And I think he would rather be Black Panther than Blade. And I think he would do such a great job. But who knows? This is the producers. Marvel is the boss and Disney is the boss. They're going to have to eventually decide what they're going to do with the character. I think for the next movie, we're probably going to see his sister take over the reign of Black Panther.
Which I think is a mistake, but...
No, I do too. It's just unfortunate that Chadwick Boseman died. He was very good. He was a very good actor. and he was a very good Black Panther. And I know it's very difficult for Disney and Marvel to make a decision regarding the future of Black Panther, but I think it's a mistake, like you guys said, to just kill that character off to, because, you know, a great actor had passed away. Pedro makes an excellent point with Christopher Reeve. It's just, you know, and James Bond too. It's not all of them had died once they finished being James Bond, but they were replaced. I think people are just way too sentimental these days. And I'm sure Chadwick Boseman would be against it, you know.
Yeah, but the James Bond analogy is a good one. I mean, other people have played that character and it didn't end. I mean, heck, we're on our third Spider-Man.
That's true.
Our second Hulk.
And how many Batmans have we gone through?
Yeah, so exactly. I don't know why Black Panther has to end, you know, because of the unfortunate loss.
Yeah, I agree. So Disney Plus Day, that came and went. We did get a lot of information about some upcoming shows, and we were kind of going to go through some of that now. We saw, I guess they were small little teasers, and they were kind of interesting, and I had shared them with Fedra and Jack, and I wanted to see their opinion on them. So I guess the first one that we had seen was the She-Hulk one. We saw, what, maybe 30 seconds? But Fedra, what did you think? Did you like what you saw?
Yeah, I thought the way it was presented was gaining my interest. It was nice. I know you're not a big fan of him, but it was nice to see the actor that plays the Hulk in there, even for a split moment. So it definitely did entice me to check it out.
Hmm. Jack?
Well, Tatiana Maslany is a phenomenal actress. Check out the first few seasons of Orphan Black. And she's just incredible in that she plays multiple clones of herself that are like completely different. In one, she plays somebody who's just like that jaded person on her own. Another, she plays a soccer mom. And another one, she plays like a assassin who's been brought up crazy. I mean, she plays all these characters and they meld those characters on screen together so well. I don't know how they did it. Like, usually see, oh, that's split screen. But the way they did it was you'd have one character reach across the table and hand something to the other character. Smoothly. It looks gorgeous. The way these characters interact, they walk in front of each other, behind each other. It's not just a simple split screen special effect. And she's terrific. You actually buy her as all these different people, even though they're clones and look pretty close to the same. So I think we're gonna love her as Jennifer Walters. I just wish we got to see her as the She-Hulk. Not just, you know, the green, you know, body leaning, you know, the shot going up. So you see the legs, then you start to see the arms. It would have been great if they just continued it where it went up to the hair and she turned around and smiled at the camera or something. Because I want to see her, how she looks hulked up. And Joe and I were talking before. He's like, oh, I don't think she's, you know, 7 feet tall or, you know, whatever, in that she's a normal sized person. Well, she's a short actress. She is not tall. And, you know, it should be interesting to see how they deal with that. If they do make her tall through however, or if they leave her average person size.
She could wear heels.
I don't think you could wear heels that much to get up to that 7 foot mark.
It does.
But I'm thinking it's going to be great because she is terrific.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked what we saw of it. And I'm not a fan, Fedra, of Mark Ruffalo, but I did like him in Endgame as Professor Hulk. Sometimes I like him. I liked him in the first Avengers, but the other movies that he played the Hulk, I wasn't too crazy about. I think it's good to introduce him as Professor Hulk, but I hope that's the last time we see Professor Hulk, because we need the Savage Hulk back. And enough of this smart Hulk that's just not as strong as the previous Hulks that we had seen. And but what little we saw, I kind of like. They might not be finished with the special effects, so maybe that's why we haven't seen her. And I have a feeling that that's it, is that they are not ready with her look. It could be her hairstyle that they are still working on. But I think it's going to be good. This is the description that Disney released. It says, see Tatiana Maslany as She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters, a lawyer who specializes in superhuman-orientated legal cases. She-Hulk will welcome a host of Marvel characters to the series, including the Hulk, played by Mark Ruffalo, and the Abomination, played by Tim Roth. The new comedy series is coming to Disney Plus in 2022. So it's going to be more of a comedy series, which I think is probably a good choice. I think we could use some lightheartedness in these Disney Plus series. And I think it could be fun. If she has to defend certain superheroes or supervillains or whatever, and that the cases are amusing, I could be on board with it. I'd rather see, I'm not going to say this with all of this that we're talking about, I'd rather see a movie than a series, but it's a good start. It definitely has me intrigued.
The series, when they had her join the superhero defense law firm, was really, really funny. So it does give you the chance to bring in maybe a lot of different characters that we would never see a series on or a movie, but just for a one and done. Mm. So I think it could be just a lot of fun. They've had cases where somebody builds a homemade armor and tries to commit a crime, and they get punched by someone the Thing. And the guy says, it was, but he used excessive force when he hit me. It's those kind of wacky sort of cases. I think there was one where another guy made some contraption, so he went to sue the company that made the materials for it. Even though it was a supervillain, he was sold some shoddy merchandise. So, he's suing whoever made it. So there's a lot of funny twists that could come on. I think it's going to be like Ally McBeal with superheroes.
Yeah, that should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Another brief little teaser that we saw was of Moon Knight. And Jack, what'd you think of that?
I like the suit. I think they got the suit right.
Yeah, I agree.
My only concern with Moon Knight is that I think they're going to end up watering it down. I think that character fits more like the Netflix model than the Disney Plus model. Because I love the 3 Daredevil series. I thought those were phenomenal on Netflix. And that level of action, fighting, and violence fits Moon Knight. I don't think we'd ever see shows like that on Disney Plus, because it's a platform that is considered family friendly. It's, or, you know, all family or something. Like, we don't see rated R movies on there. And, you know, I think Moon Knight would work great under the Netflix umbrella versus the Disney Plus. But I am glad they got the costume right, because that could be a costume that could look very cheesy and just not good. But it looks really close to the comic, as I picture Moon Knight would.
Oh, cool. Fedra?
I really agree with Jac that when I watched it, it actually really felt very psychological, like a darker kind of psychological series. So I'm interested in how Disney's going to do that, because I agree. I think with Netflix, you have a little bit more creative flow that you can go in that darker realm. I don't really know anything about Moon Knight, so this will be an interesting thing to look at with just fresh eyes. So I'll probably be relying on Jack to like update me on what's true to the character and what isn't.
Well, part of what worries me is with Moon Knight, they've gotten very much into, you know, his psyche is shattered. He's a mess. And sometimes they go a little too far with that in the comics. You know, Moon Knight as, you know, a daredevil type character is great. But, you know, when they have that multiple personality sort of thing thrown in, sometimes they go a little bit overboard with the character. But we'll see how they handle it.
So this is a synopsis for Moon Knight. It's a new globe-trotting action-adventure series featuring a complex vigilante who suffers from dissociative identity disorder. The multiple identities who live inside him find themselves thrust into a deadly war of the gods against the backdrop of modern and ancient Egypt. And this will premiere on Disney Plus in 2022. So to Jack's point about it being watered down, you never know. I still think that there was a lot of violence in Captain America, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And who knows? Disney might change their how people view Disney Plus, because over in Europe, they do have R-rated movies on Disney Plus over there. Like,
I thought as a platform they weren't going to do that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, it's almost like I think it might be a little bit of a premium service, but, you know, you could watch Die Hard movies there. I forget which else, but they do have rated R movies there. So we might see that coming to us. And since it's coming in 2022, again, Disney's all about making money. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that, where you're like, well, you have, you know, your vanilla Disney Plus, but then you have Disney Plus Extreme. And that's where we have like a little more hardcore shows. But I will say, I agree with you, Jack. I love the costume. Although, you know, we didn't get that great of a glimpse of it, but I love the scene of him going from building to building and seeing like a superhero all dressed in white against the night sky. I think that looked beautiful, because we're so used to seeing Batman do that. And he's got a dark costume, but it's looks really nice to see Moon Knight doing it. And I think, again, since he can move so fast, it's not like people are going to go, oh, there's Moon Knight. You know, it's just, I think this is going to be a surprise hit for Disney and Marvel. And I am looking forward to it. So I'm very optimistic over the first two. So the next one was Miss Marvel. I'll read the synopsis for that. So it introduces Kamala Khan, a 16-year-old Pakistani American from Jersey City, an aspiring artist and avid gamer, and a voracious fan fiction scribe. She's a huge fan of the Avengers, and one in particular, Captain Marvel. But Kamala has always struggled to find her place in the world. That is, until she gets superpowers like the hero she always looked up to. And this will premiere in the summer of 2022. So, Fedra, what would you think of the little kind of glimpse we saw of Miss Marvel?
I will have to see it again, because when I saw it, I was excited because, as I said before, I liked the Captain Marvel movie, so I would be interested in seeing a series. My first take was I wasn't so sure about the character herself, like the girl that's playing Captain Marvel. So I don't know why my first inkling was there. It still felt off, like it wasn't connecting. But it was also very quick, so I may have to see it again.
Well, she's playing Miss Marvel.
It's
a little different. Originally in the comic books, Captain Marvel was Miss Marvel. She had a different costume, and then eventually she had taken on the moniker of Captain Marvel. This superhero, I can't stand her powers. I hear her story is very good. Everybody says that it's, you know, a nice, refreshing story, you know, about a young girl who's, again, Pakistani American. And she's kind of like in love with all these superheroes, like admires them, kind of like the thing which I don't like with Spider-Man. What they do with the Spider-Man movies is he's kind of like her and he shouldn't be like her. And
because he is an Avenger himself.
Yeah, he's a superhero. And
yeah.
So that should be her story, not his story. But I've said this, I've been pounding my shoe on the table all the time about it. Her powers suck. They're the worst friggin' powers to give to this girl. She basically stretches and she grows big. And I did hear they're changing her powers for this series, which I think is cool. Somebody must be listening to this podcast, and they're going to make her more interesting. Yeah, I'd be like, make her fly, you know, make her have like bolts come out of her hands and stuff like that. Don't have her hands grow big so she can grab a bank robber and wrap them around her fingers and all that. That's just boring, stupid stuff. You know, let her be a cool superhero. If you're going to have a young girl and she's Pakistani American, give her some cool powers. That's all my whole point. All right, Jack, what was your whole thingy? Did you like it?
I know she has her fans. I like, how do you put it? I'm not super amazed with her powers either, but I do like the character. Herself. I like the fact that she's a little bit of a superhero fan, and then she has the opportunity to get powers. I like the fact that she's a friendly neighborhood superhero. She doesn't go out of her way to look for, you know, big menaces that are going to destroy the world. She's more interested in helping the average people in her neighborhood.
Like Spider-Man,
kind of. When Spider-Man stays in Queens versus going into the city, you know. So I like that aspect of the character. She's another character, like I've talked about before, like sometimes Captain America's book on his own can kind of get a bit boring. But I love him leading the Avengers as part of a team. I like Miss Marvel leading the team of the champions, which are like the group of younger superheroes in Marvel. I think she's great like that because she's got a certain eagerness and a willingness to help, and she's not cynical. So she's a good character. However, I just don't have any interest in seeing a series with her. This is out of all of them the one I'm least excited about. It might be a great series for younger kids, and it's just skews differently from Moon Knight completely. It's a different style than She-Hulk, so I think this is one for the kids, and it could be great for them, but it's not something I'm looking excited for. I wish they had gone with her costume, that we got to see something closer to the comics versus her wearing Brie Larson's suit.
I think we're just, she might be trying on different suits during that scene.
I mean, but I would have liked to see her in her own costume. But you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, go give it a try. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something in there I'll find funny or like, but I think that is going to be the lightest in tone of the Disney Plus Marvel series. And like I said, it could be made for the kids and the kids will love it.
The only thing I'm concerned about is I don't want them to push race and that she's attacked by people that don't look like her or don't have her religious beliefs. And if they're going to do that, it's going to turn me off. Let's just let her be a superhero.
Is that the direction they're going with it?
I have a feeling that they will.
Oh, because the comic isn't like that. She's just a teenage girl who's a superhero.
They
do mention, you know, that she's Muslim, that she's a different faith, but they don't really force that on you too much in the comic. So I hope the woke and nutty don't force it on us in the
Marvel's Avengers game, she was in that, and they kind of implied that, you know, that these people were making fun of her because of her religion and all that. And then I watched a little bit of it and I was like, don't push this. You know, if you want to be a superhero, don't force all the bad that's out there. Cause it, not the whole world is like that, that everyone is so unaccepting of other people's religions. People are accepting of other religions. They, you know, let's just be one big happy family. Don't make it be where one particular race is the villain because they're pigheaded and unwilling to change. Just let her be a fun little kid that likes superheroes and excited to be in the world that they live in. And I'll be happy.
They don't need to hit on that aspect of, you know, racism or anti-religion or whatever. They don't need to hit on that, but they can't help themselves but feel they have to address it.
I guarantee you they will. I don't know for sure, but me knowing Disney and Marvel, it's going to happen. I just hope it doesn't. All right, so this other series, I'd heard about this. This is Echo. It's a series starring Alacqua Cox as Maya Lopez, who will be introduced in the series Hawkeye. Again, I'm not too familiar with the character. Jack, did you ever hear of this character, Echo?
If it's the character, I think it is. I know she's in the current run of Avengers, and actually she's gotten the power of the Phoenix in the Avengers currently. I thought she was called Echo because she was sort of like the Taskmaster, that she could see somebody's superpowers and kind of replicate them.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
An echo of someone else. I know she is, she communicates with sign language, which we're seeing a handicapped superhero. Which could be interesting, but I don't know enough about her to really wonder why she's getting a series.
Well, that would be odd if they are introducing two superheroes that use sign language, like they had the one in the Eternals and then this one. I think they might be pushing that a little too much. They should have just left it with Echo if that was her character.
Or leave the Eternals. Like I said, there's so many characters they could have done. I don't know why they're focusing on her. I don't get their choice in how they're picking their characters they do these TV shows on.
Fedra, any thoughts on that one? I'm not too familiar with the character myself.
No, not really. I mean, I don't know what to expect, and I guess once we see like how they're kind of playing the character, I think I'll have more of an opinion.
Yeah, and I mentioned I texted you this, guys. Texted this to you. I think that one of the movies in the MCU is going to be a home run, and we just don't know which one it's going to be. It hasn't been the first three that were released for Phase 4, but you never know. One of those movies that's coming up might be awesome. And the same thing goes with these series, too. We might have another Mandalorian. We just have to wait and see. But yeah, so far, I mean, I'm interested in Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Ms. Marvel. Echo, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll probably watch it, but it's not my cup of tea.
But that said, we don't know what her story is going to be. I mean, it's new territory. She hasn't been around that long. So you're right. They may pull something out that's surprising, but who knows? I mean, I don't really know enough about the character.
All right. Maybe
that's a good thing.
Well, let's try to speed this up since we got quite a bit. Ironheart. Well, we heard this series was coming. It stars Dominique Thorne as Rhea Williams, a genius inventor who creates the most advanced suit of armor since Iron Man. So, Fedra, I'll give you a little update on this character. She basically took over as Iron Man. You know, she wears Iron Man suit, basically. She's a 15-year-old black girl. And this was one of those things that I recall when they were killing off or turning the original superheroes into bad guys, and they were replacing them with people of color or different genders, or swapping the genders, which I kind of saw through it. And I was like, don't do this. Don't do this. And she's one of them. So she's basically the new Iron Man.
Okay. I mean, for me, after, you know, watching everything in the MCU and being caught up, that would be kind of confusing to me. I would want the writers to stick with one type of plan for like a while. So the fact that, you know, Iron Man, you know, just died, I don't understand why revamping another one with a different gender but same character. I don't see, for me, I don't see any desire to look into it after I've just like caught up with the MCU and Iron Man's technically dead. I would rather see new characters personally and see other developments than recycling Iron Man yet again.
Jack?
I never really saw the point of that push when they made this character. For a while there, they did replace a lot of the heroes we knew with younger counterparts. Some of them made sense where they replaced Nova with, you know, the son of another Nova out in space who they get their powers from their helmets. Okay, you know, that story was okay. The character as a civilian, they gave a nice story to, and him getting this was very much in line of like the old Peter Parker, having to keep an identity, keep his responsibilities of going to school and helping with his family, you know, balancing that with the superhero scene. Having a kid build an Iron Man suit in her garage that rivals Tony Stark's, it just really didn't seem like it was needed too much. For example, other heroes in it, when in this whole trend that they did for a while, They had Amadeus Troy, who was a boy genius, who was a sidekick of the Hulk for a little while, managed to get some of the Hulk's gamma energy, and he became like a teenage Hulk, which was kind of fun. You had the Vision's daughter, for when the Vision created his own family. The only one that didn't kind of short circuit was the daughter. So you had some interesting characters come through. I think she was probably the least interesting of the batch. As always, I checked out some of those comics. I really just didn't take a shine to her. I even preferred they had a new Wasp, which she was Hank Pym's daughter with somebody that else that he knew. But she was a gifted student. But in her comic, you know, she'd do things as a superhero, but then she'd be explaining scientific principles as she fought them. Like, you know, she did a whole bit and she explained using a lever and why a lever helps you move objects that you could never lift on your own.
All right, so wrap it up.
They would explain principles like that. Ironheart, I just don't know why she was needed, why she was created. In the comic books, I'm not interested in her. And as an MCU, as a Disney Plus series, I've got no interest either.
Okay, good enough. Next one, Agatha House of Harkness, which is a series starring Katherine Hahn as her character from WandaVision. And you didn't watch WandaVision, Frederick, did you?
Nope.
She was a witch in WandaVision. She was annoying.
She was great.
I didn't like the series. I thought the series was the worst series out of all the Disney Plus series.
Completely two different the
series. I think it was probably the best of the Disney Plus series.
Jack's weird. What do you want me to tell you?
No, there was a lot of good, interesting stuff in there. And
I think you're both weird.
Huh?
Edra. It's okay if you say that about Jack, not about me.
Not too bad. Equal love here, equal appreciation.
Okay.
She was a fun character. She was a fun bad guy. And her misadventures, because I think that will be a misadventures story. And I think that could be an awful lot of fun.
All right.
And they got to have that theme song back.
I'm sure they will, and I hated that.
All along.
All right. Anyway, next one is Secret Invasion. We kind of heard a little bit about this. This is a series starring Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury and Ben Mendelsohn as the Skrull Talos, characters who first met in Captain Marvel. The crossover comic event series showcases a faction of shape-shifting Skrulls who have been infiltrating Earth for years. I'm going to start first and say I have no interest in this. I never liked the Skrulls. I never liked Secret Invasion. I just thought it was a lame storyline. It's almost as bad as the multiverse. And I really am not looking forward to this. What about you, Fedra? Something you sound interested in? Although Samuel Jackson will be in it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm interested in the Skrulls, not so much the invasion, but I also really loved Samuel Jackson as Fury, so I will definitely check it out and give it a shot.
All right. And Jack, in your briefest possible way, explain how you feel.
It's good. Watch.
Okay. That's good enough for me.
What if I may elaborate on that?
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
I think that this is going to be an awful lot of fun because Nick Fury and Mendelsohn are very good together. They have a great chemistry. And it could be a very interesting show where you don't know who is a Skrull and who isn't. Sort of like in Winter Soldier, how you had these characters come up and whisper, Hail Hydra to each other. That is going to be amped up to 11. So I think it's going to be fun.
Okay. The Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. It's a special written and directed by Guardians of the Galaxy veteran James Gunn. So I'm assuming it's going to be a live action, sort of a little brief little holiday special. So we'll see.
Good music.
Yeah, that'd be nice if they had nice Christmas music, classic Christmas mm-hmm. music.
Is it? Yeah, but you're right. They haven't said whether it's going to be live action or animated.
Yeah, good point.
If it's animated, I have no interest in it. If it's live action, I would probably be interested in it. But it better be short and fun.
It better be really Christmassy, either way.
Yeah.
Animated or not. I want it to actually resonate on a holiday level. If it's just to put something out just to advertise the upcoming film, then it's like, no.
Yeah. So this was interesting. They announced that they're rebooting X-Men 97 series, the animated series. And the description is an animated series from Marvel Studios that explores new stories in the iconic 90s timeline of the original series. The Wrap has confirmed that the X-Men animated series is officially getting a revival. It's supposed to air sometimes in 2023. That's going to be a long time before we see that. We're going to pick up where the original Fox series left off with some returning cast members and quite a few new additions. The person that voiced Wolverine, Rogue, Beast, Nightcrawler, Mr. Sinister, Jean Grey, Gambit, Storm, and Jubilee are all returning. I think it's kind of cool. I hope it's nice animation. I hope it's not woke. And that's it. I did enjoy the X-Men animated series growing up, mostly the theme song, and that they were based on Jim Lee's X-Men characters, their costumes. It was a blast just to kind of watch that. And we got to see Wolverine. We wanted more and more Wolverine at that point. So it was nice to see him animated. Did you watch that series growing up?
Yes, I did. And I'll be livid if they mess this up. So I'll be very opinionated. It'll probably be the most you've ever heard of me being negative if they mess this up. Because, yeah, I was there every Saturday morning. You bet your butt I was on there right in front of the TV with my bowl of cereal. Heck yeah, I was on. So, I mean, if they screw this up, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to be a happy camper at all. Because it was really awesome. I loved all the costumes. I loved all the voices. I loved all the episodes. They were really good. It was very intense.
Yeah, it was a nice introduction for people to the X-Men. And Jack, I'm sure you watched the series or some of it.
I've seen most of it. However, I don't share the fond nostalgia as Fedra does. I thought I heard they were going to animate it in the same style as the 1997 cartoon.
I wouldn't like that. No.
Which is very dated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't. I'm not a huge X-Men fan. So, like I said, I'll check it out, but I don't know how excited I am about this one.
I just don't know why it's taken so long. 2023? That's 2 years from now. It's crazy.
I'd rather see them make a new X-Men cartoon. Like, honestly, I enjoyed the short-lived X-Men Evolution better.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
When a lot of them, Wolverine was still the older guy. He was a professor at the school. And I think Storm was still a professor. But the bulk of them were teenagers again. And, you know, I'd like to see a teen X-Men again, like they were when they first started out, where they weren't great with their powers. They were training, they were learning how to use them, and they were dealing with the subjects of racism and prejudice as teenagers versus adults. So, like I said, I'd rather see a brand new X-Men. And of course, there are some characters on the team that I never liked. I never liked Gambit. I never liked Jubilee.
What?
Yeah, I never liked Gambit.
Jack's weird.
Well, no, it's probably because Gambit shows up and all of a sudden, you know, they have to prove how good he is. So no one can stand up to Gambit and like even kicks Wolverine around, you know, who's
doesn't always.
When he showed up, they had him always needling Wolverine. And then one time they went at it and like Gambit took him out in like three panels, you know, it's like, yeah, Gambit, you have a staff, but you know, you're hitting a guy with an adamantium skeleton. You know, you could keep whacking on him all day and you're not gonna hurt him. But obviously he could because he's Gambit and he's just that good. Yeah, like I said, there are characters on the team that I don't have that nostalgia for, and I'm not looking forward to it. Give us new X-Men.
No, I loved Gambit. I thought he was a cool looking character. And that's part of it. He looked cool. He had the long coat, you know, that kind of mask around his head that revealed his hair and his face.
Yeah, purple and blue and I don't know.
The bow staff, the deck of cards. He was cool. Go to hell, Jack.
No, see, this is it. Fedra, what I'm thinking is don't like fall in line with him, he just berates you at every turn. It's terrible.
I always thought he was French. Well, I guess it's because
he's
Cajun, but
he's from New Orleans.
But he was always saying "Mon ami," you know.
Yeah, he was.
That's why Fedra's heart would flutter from the little accent.
Oh yes.
They'll mess it up, I'm sure.
I do agree. Like he should not be able to stand up to Wolverine. Sorry.
Unless they have Adam Sandler start to voice him as Cajun Man.
Then it's a comedy, yeah.
Onion.
But I agree with you, Jack. Some to handle the topics of civil rights and prejudice and, you know, separating, you know, a class system or, you know, whatever a group of people, like, I think it would be interesting to see more on the teenage perspective more than the adult. But I'm a big fan, so it's like I want to catch up and watch a few of the newer ones I've missed. But it's
it's available on Disney Plus. They have the series on there.
Nice.
I didn't like, what do they call the Morlocks?
Yeah, the Morlocks, the sewer people.
I hated them. And I hated, was it Mojo?
Mojo, same thing. I didn't like, never liked Mojo.
He's like Jabba the Hutt. Yeah. Don't bring them back, please. So what if season 2 is returning? Not looking forward to that. I can't believe we have to watch another 9 episodes of that crap. No. I'm sure it's not going to get any better.
You don't have to watch it. That's the beauty of it.
Spider-Man.
You're part of the problem, Joe. By watching it, they see, hey, Joe Coker, do you watch it?
We have to review it. That's what we're supposed to do on this show. Spider-Man Freshman Year was announced. It's an animated series that follows Peter Parker on his way to becoming Spider-Man in the MCU, with a journey unlike we've ever seen in a style that celebrates the character's early comic book roots.
That's the current Spider-Man series that was on.
No, this is going to be based on Peter Parker from the MCU. So I don't think
he's not going to have a Spider-Man suit. He's going to be wearing his hoodie. And
I hope not. Yeah, you're right. Because if this is supposed to take place during freshman year, God, I hope they don't do that.
During the most recent series, he's in school. He's a freshman. He just started at the high school. And he runs into people who, like, I thought the twist in that was kind of clever where Otto Octavius is a professor there. You know, so it kind of introduces some characters into the mix. But you know what? They already have that. I don't know why they need, and it's produced by Marvel. So I don't know why Disney feels they need to revisit that again.
I don't know. You interested, Fedra?
No, as I said, I'm more interested in seeing the man of Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's my girl.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, anything Disney does animated wise just sucks. I just wish they wouldn't do it. And Jack makes a good point. God damn, if they just show him in that stupid hoodie and that homemade costume for the whole series, I am definitely not on board.
Ugh, and going back, do we have to see poor Uncle Ben get shot again?
Yep.
Yeah, why don't they take out Aunt May for a change?
No. We need a hot Aunt May around.
So another series that's coming, I didn't think this is just shorts. I Am Groot. It's a series of original shorts exploring Baby Groot's glory days growing up and getting into trouble. You know, which is, again, I'm sure it's just little shorts, maybe like 2-minute shorts or something like that, that they'll show on Disney Plus every now and then.
I think
it'll be cute.
Yeah, it could be cute.
I think it's going to be too cute. I think it's going to be too cutesy.
Well, yeah, I'm all the way up for that. You know me.
They might be like saying, oh, you know, Baby Yoda's popular. Baby Groot was kind of popular. You know, let's bring him back.
And we'll have Star Wars another scene.
Like, yeah, another scene of him like dancing. That would have been really cool.
Yeah, and I wish it's the Baby Groot from, you know, Guardians Volume 2. Mm-hmm. That style of animation, not hand, you know, crap animation,
right?
CGI, but we'll see. So, last thing is Marvel Zombies, an animated series from Marvel Studios that reimagines the Marvel Universe as a new generation of heroes battles against an ever spreading zombie scourge. Ugh. Fedra, you looking forward to it?
No, not at all. I think I said this before when we watched the What If episode. You know, it's just very dark. It's a very dark topic. I used to be. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I used to watch every horror film known to man. But I changed and I kind of got away from that vibe because it's just really like end of the world stuff. And since we're already going through a very hard time globally right now, it's just not the topic that I'd want to watch personally.
Jack?
I've never been a fan of the zombie craze. I like the book World War Z. I'd say though, the rest of the materials, I just can't get into zombies. Give me werewolves or vampires any day.
Yeah.
But monster vampires, not angsty teenage vampires. So this one, I just was never a fan of the Marvel Zombies. It's a miss for me.
Yeah, I can't understand. I think most people didn't like that episode with the Marvel Zombies. Why would you bring them back? I know it was very popular when they did the comic of Marvel Zombies, but that's something I never would want to do. And this whole zombie Walking Dead phenomenon crap that's been going on for a long time, I don't get. I've never, like Jack has said, I've just never been a fan of zombies. I don't understand them. I don't think that they would ever be like that. You know, once you're dead, all right, maybe you'll have a little life in you, but you'll probably die again, you know, once you eat all the people. So what are they going to survive on? And it's just, it's stupid. And turning the superheroes into zombies, just a dumb thing. And Disney doesn't know what they're doing. It's like, why don't they hire me? I'll fix everything, starting with Slave Leia. Like I said, I'll do a series on Slave Leia.
There you go.
I mean, what did she spend? She had to spend like at least 2 days with Jabba the Hutt. So I can get 2 seasons out of that, at least.
Yeah. You're certain?
Yeah, you know, maybe 3 days. You know, do it each hour. Each hour that she spent her time with Jabba the Hutt. People will love that. They'll just want more and more of that. No, I would just make it good. Not this whole, I would get rid of all wokeness and just go back to having fun and the old times. Remember the good times? But whatever. All right, I'm going to end it now because, oh man, I'm getting tired. I had more I wanted to say, but maybe we'll save it for another time. Okay, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell them where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
Very good, Jack. And Fedra?
You can add me on Facebook and Instagram, or you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
Very good. And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Also, check out Walt Disney World News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. Finally, if you like our show and other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit WDWNT's Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. And don't forget, next week, the 28th, help support Toys for Tots and us too by tuning in on Sunday at 3 to 5 and watching Nerd Alert Live.
Chong chong.
So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 43. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.